You may be seated. As you mark your hymn books to song number 345, we encourage you to get your Bible and open its pages and study with us this afternoon. In just a few moments, if the Lord will, we'll stand and sing that song to invite you to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything has been made ready that you might enjoy all the spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Jesus Christ. This afternoon, I call your attention to a statement in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, and verse 23. The question is raised, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. I'm making spiritual application of that rhetorical question to call our attention to some things that you and I just never will change. No matter how long you and I live or how hard we try, there's some things that we'll just never change. Just as the leopard cannot change his spots. There are a lot of things we could talk about, but I've selected six for our consideration. The first thing I bring to our attention is the fact that just as the leopard cannot change his spots, you and I will not change the fact that your sin will find you out. In the book of Numbers, in chapter 32, when the Lord's people were preparing to cross the Jordan to enter the land of possession, the Reubenites and the Gadites sued for their inheritance. They said, "Let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession," that is, the land on the other side of the Jordan. And the question was asked by Moses, "Shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here?" And the people were discouraged because of that disposition. And they had entered into an agreement that they would help their brethren receive their possession. And in Numbers 32 and verse 23, it is said, "If ye will not do so, behold, you sin against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." No matter how hard you and I may try to fight against that, we can rest assured that your sin will find you out. Found Adam and Eve out, didn't it? In the garden, when God said, "Ye shall not eat, lest ye die," in the book of Genesis 2, 16 and 17. The devil comes along and he presents the fruit of the tree as an appealing and attractive thing. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." He said, "In fact, your eyes will be opened and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." So the woman got to looking at that and she saw a tree that was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and she ate of it. She gave it to her husband, he ate. Genesis chapter 3. You know what happens? Their sin finds them out. God called unto Adam in verse 9 and said, "Where art thou?" And it's not that God didn't know where he was, but he asked that to help the man to realize where he was. And he began to make some excuses. He said, "I was afraid and I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." And so he began to blame his wife. And he also involved the Lord himself in that he said, "Whom thou gavest to be with me." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord said, "God, unto the serpent, because thou hast done this." And so even though they tried to hide, and they tried to blame somebody else, their sin found them out, didn't it? Sin found out Achan. Remember Achan? When the people were taking Jericho in the book of Joshua, and how the Lord said in chapter 6, verse 18, "Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed." And in chapter 7, the people were defeated in battle because there was sin in the camp. 36 men met their doom. And the reason was, verse 11 of Joshua 7, Israel has sinned. And they were admonished to take away the accursed thing. They didn't know that was among them. Achan did. And they didn't know where it was because it was being hidden. And Achan said in verse 20, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid, they're what, Achan? Hid in the earth and in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." You know, though he could hide those things from other people, he couldn't hide the fact that he had sinned against God, could he? And his sin found him out. And as a result, he was stoned with stones and burned with fire in the book of Joshua 7 and in verse 25. And they raised over him a great heap of stones on this day, and it serves as an enduring monument or memorial to the fact that your sin will find you out. Another example of sin finding somebody out would be in the case of David. Remember when, as David arose to be king over Israel in 2 Samuel 11, that he saw a woman, sent and inquired, and took her and lay with her, and she conceived and said, "I'm with child." And he began attempts to try to cover that up, to hide it. He got a man drunk. He committed murder in putting the man at the forefront of the hottest battle and having the others retire from him that he'd be smitten and die. And according to chapter 11 and in verse 27, David sent and fetched her and she became his wife. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent a prophet to him by the name of Nathan, who told a story about a rich man and a poor man and a little ewe lamb. And David was told by Nathan, "Thou art the man." And so his sin found him out, didn't he? Also, Jonah. Remember Jonah when he was commissioned by the Lord in the book that bears his name to go to Nineveh, the city, the great capital city of the great Assyrian Empire, with an important message. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't want to do that. In fact, he went down to a seaport and boarded a ship that was going in the opposite direction. You know why he did that? To flee from the presence of the Lord. Even when he was in a ship out in the sea, you'd think he was away from everybody and everything. His sin found him out, didn't it? It was found out as to the fact that he had tried to escape the Lord's responsibility and is thrown overboard. So what do you learn from all that? That your sin will find you out. And if not in this life, then certainly in the judgment to come, as we heard read just a moment ago from Ecclesiastes 12:14, that God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And so there really are no secrets. And so, as a leopard cannot change his spots, I can't change the fact that your sin will find you out. Another thing I can't change, never will change, and you won't either, is the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Those in high places, as well as lower, need to learn and respect the timeless, ageless principle of Proverbs 14:34, which reads, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It makes no difference which nation it is and the time in which it exists on this earth. When a nation of people do what's right, that nation is going to be exalted. That's true of individuals, and that's true of nations. And you can't read the Old Testament without appreciating the fact that righteousness exalteth a nation, that when the nation of Israel did what was right, they were exalted. But sin is reproached to any people. When they turn from righteousness, they turn to iniquity, they turn to rebellion against God. What happened? It was a reproach to them. It was their downfall. And as that has been true all throughout history, that's true today. If we want to see this nation in which we live to be exalted, then we've got to return to righteousness. We've got to do what's right. But if we're bent on sin, we're bent on evil and wrongdoing, it's going to be a reproach to us. And the sooner our leaders learn that, the better off this country will be. And the sooner I learn that, the better off I'll be. But also, I'll never change the fact, as a leopard cannot change his spots, that there is set before us today a blessing and a curse. The book of Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. You know, Moses sinned, didn't he? He committed a great evil in what he did before the rock when he was told to speak to it. And he took his rod and he smote it and he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And God said that he was not going to be allowed near the promised land. And yet the Lord said, I don't have any more use for you because you've disobeyed me, right? No, don't think that because you sin or you've made some mistakes in your past that the Lord no longer has any use for you. Though here's a man that disobeyed the Lord made use of him to preach obedience to the people in the plains of Moab. And basically you have sermons or discourses by Moses that are appealing to the people to obey. And who better, really, to preach obedience than a man who himself learned the importance of obedience? That's what he's doing. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, he said in verse 26, Behold, I set before you this day. What's set before them, Moses? A blessing and a curse. Now let me ask you, which would you rather have? You'd choose the blessing. Wouldn't you? I would too. I hope. And then verse 27, he says, a blessing if. That word if indicates that the blessing is conditional. What's it hinge on? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and what? A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. And so they're set before us a blessing and a curse this day. And I'm not going to change that. You won't either. No matter how long we live, how hard we try, you might as well expect a leopard to change his spots as to think that you can change the fact that there's set before us a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey and a curse if you don't. Whether I realize that or not, whenever I choose to obey the Lord, I choose a blessing. I may not always see that. I may not always appreciate it. And at the same time, when I choose not to obey the Lord, I choose a curse. There are consequences. Life's about choices and consequences. And when we choose to obey, it brings about blessings. If we choose not to, it's going to bring curses that are unpleasant. And so the question that rests upon us today is, which shall we choose? May we choose the blessing. Another thing that you and I will never change, as a leopard cannot change his spots, we'll not change the fact that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You think you could change that? I tell you, if you think you could change that, get you some corn and take it out and plant it and try to produce tomatoes. It don't work that way. You know, in the book of Origination, we're told that when God brought forth his creation, that he talked about whose seed is in itself, and he used the expression, after his kind, after his kind. That's why when you plant corn, you expect to reap corn. And when you have a cat, it's going to give birth to a dog, right? No. It's going to bring forth a cat. That's the way it works. That's the way God intended. That's the way God designed it. You know, that's true spiritually. And Paul wrote the churches of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. He said, be not deceived. You know, a lot of times we're deceived. It's easy to be deceived. We deceive ourselves sometimes. We make ourselves think some things that are true when they're really not. And sometimes we're deceived by other people. And so I've got to be on guard. This book often warns us about being deceived, being misled. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Think about those words. Reminds me of Job 4 and verse 8, where it is recorded, even as I have seen. What have you seen? That they which plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap what? The same. What's that telling me? We reap what we sow. You know, some young people are advised, just sow your wild oats. You think that's a good advice in light of what this book says? It's been pointed out to me, and I'll be good if I remember this, and perhaps it'll be helpful to you as well, that we reap what we sow, we reap later than we sow, and we reap more than we sow. Three things you'll never change in regard to sowing and reaping. You might want to write those down. At least do something to impress it on our minds. We reap what we sow, we reap later than we sow, and we reap more than we sow. You think about sowing the corn. You go out in the morning and sow it in the afternoon and you reap it? No, it's later on. What about when you plant one seed? You just have one seed? You think about how much is produced out of that one seed. And so I've got to be careful as to the seeds that I'm sowing from a spiritual standpoint. That I not sow to the flesh, but I sow to the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks in this same book about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And so how am I sowing? How am I living? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You think you can change that? No more than a leper can change his spots. I'll tell you another thing will never change. And that is the fact that whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's some people who are given to self-exaltation. The Lord warned his people about that. He talked about the Pharisees whose motives were to be seen of men. They sought the chief seats. They exalted themselves. And in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, the Lord said, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In chapter 18 of this same gospel account, he talked about the fact that men ought always to pray. And he told a parable unto those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It involved two praying men in the temple. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Listen to his prayer, Luke 18, 11. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you see him pointing his finger? This publican. Look at the emphasis he places upon himself in those pronouns. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He acts as if he's not done anything wrong. What's he lacking? Humility. What about the publican? Look at the difference in their prayers. Standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, what do you say? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said, I tell you, this man, what, this humble publican praying man, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now here's the principle that I need to learn and apply. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'll never change that. And I don't always know or understand how all that works. But I do know that as a leopard cannot change his spots, I'll not change the fact that when I'm humble, God will exalt me. But when I lift myself up, he's going to bring me down. And we see that demonstrated in a lot of different ways throughout the Bible. That's demonstrated in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that? Remember? He thought he was great, and this kingdom that I have built and I have made, and no recognition of God. It's God that rules in the kingdoms of men. It's God that can take the basest of men and raise them up to do whatever he wishes, to accomplish whatever he aims whenever he gets ready. It was God that brought Nebuchadnezzar into that position. It was God that could take him out and bring him down. And he taught him that in the most unique way. Turned him into a beast of a field. Remember that? the book of Daniel? What does that tell you? What do I learn from that? Those who exalt themselves are going to be abased. What about Obadiah? Remember God's message concerning Edom? How they were among the stars, and the Lord said he'd bring them down as the eagle. And just read that book. How it has to do with God's judgment against the Edomites. And in the New Testament, the book of Acts, we read where Herod had made a speech, and in the book of Acts in chapter 12. And here he is in verse 21, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, "This is the voice of a God, not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. What's God doing? He's abasing men who have exalted themselves. And then you see another area where God has exalted men who have abased themselves. Think about Moses when he was called to lead the Lord's people. Who am I? I'm of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And Jeremiah, I can't speak, I'm but a child. And look at how they were exalted, how they were lifted up to do great things in service unto the Lord. And so, I don't always understand how that works, but I know that I'll not change the fact, as a leopard can't change his spots, that when I humble myself, God will lift me up. But when I exalt myself, God will bring me down. And then one other thing, lots of other things we could talk about, but one more for our time this afternoon. As a leopard cannot change his spots, we're never going to change the fact that he that believeth is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned. Mark chapter 16, and giving the apostles their marching orders in the Great Commission, the Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned." Mark 16, 16. We're not going to change that. Right? And so we need to preach that. We need to practice that ourselves and try to encourage other people to know that and to do it. You know, there are those who will come along and they'll try to change that. They think they can. They'll change it as if he that believeth and is not baptized should be saved, or he that is baptized and then believeth shall be saved. Like a little infant, they'll practice infant baptism. Baptized, then later they believe. That's not the order. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. Or they say you're saved first and then you're baptized. They get that all out of order. You'll never change the fact that he that believeth is baptized should be saved. It takes belief and baptism in this passage to save a person from their past sins. That's why in Acts 2:38, when they said, "What shall we do?" they were told, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." And when a man said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" and he is told, "Go in the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do," the preacher told him, "A certain disciple named Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Why do you tell him that? Because he that believeth is baptized should be saved. And I'm not changed the fact that he that believeth not should be damned. You know, in the book of John in 8, and in verse 24, the Lord said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And so, I must believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And so I'm not going to change that. No matter how hard I try, no matter how long I live, it's just going to be wasted effort to try to alter that or change it. You might as well expect the leopard to change his thoughts as to change the fact that your sin will find you out. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is reproached in the people. There's set before us today a blessing and a curse, a blessing if we obey and a curse if we don't. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. And when you humble yourself, you're going to be exalted. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And so we just need to respect those things and abide by the teachings of this book, recognizing that, as the psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven." It may be that you've not yet brought your life into compliance with the principles of righteousness, with the truths of God's Word, we bid you do that today. Not to put it off another moment. In New Testament days, when folks found out what they needed to do to obey the Lord, they did it the same hour, the same day. Like in the case of the Philippian jailer. The Bible says that he was baptized the same hour of the night, about midnight. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:41, the same day. Why do it the same hour, the same day? Because you may not have another hour. You may not have another day. And if you need to make your life right with God through repentance and prayer, or need to be baptized, we'll take you this hour. We'll take care of that. We'll help you with that. If you'll just simply come, make your desires known, let us know how we can help you in accordance with the will of God, that you might go on your way rejoicing with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If we can assist you at this time, would you please come right now while we're standing to sing the song.